legal amount of 7.4, Public Works Department, Eric Keener.
Good evening, long time no see. So I'm gonna go through this kind of quick because I got other important issues to speak of here. Public Works purchased $3,056,000 of water in December. We repaired 4 emergency water leaks. Type of weather we've been having, cold weather, the rainy weather, the slope mowing, painting the hydrants up the code, all that's pretty much slowed down. We did install a new hydrant on West Country Club at South Country Club. We have one there that's been out of service. However, it's still out of service at this time. We're in the process of finding some inline isolation valves that we believe is off. But there is a new hydrant there, which is good for that area in case of a fire. But we're still working on that. We had some contractors repair, obviously, the concrete guy here by the drop box and on South Country Club. And the electrician contractor fixed the lighting right here. I know Mr. Adams would really like to get those potholes fixed on Bio Forest.
Oh, yeah.
With this weather and putting out toll patch, it has to be
completely sure.
I wonder where that concrete is. We got this here. If y'all look on the next page, we got another violation, and I'm going to tell you how we got this violation and about it. So we have to go back to 2014. We tested in 2014. We test for lead and copper every 2 years. So when we did that testing, I was under the impression that we were done until 2017. However, the results of that testing took us out of the 90th percentile, is what they call it, and it put us in a yearly testing. Now, they updated their website, but they didn't give us an official notice. It was on the website, but I never got the notice that we had to test yearly. Therefore, last year we didn't test. Again, I'm thinking we were good until 2017. I just want to go over a couple of things about it as well, just so people don't get a little worried about the water. When we test for lead and copper, we're not really testing the water itself. We're testing the homeowners, the residents' plumbing inside their house, basically. It's their kitchen and their restroom sinks. So we tested 10 different sites throughout the city for lead and copper. We had one come back a little high on copper and one come back a little high on lead. I have those addresses. I don't know if you'll let me disclose those now or not. However, they're also separate addresses. But yeah, that's what that's from. If y'all have any questions about that.
And you had 2 residents, you said?
Yes, sir.
Testament.
And I have the addresses if you want.
David, can I be public knowledge? I can't, Jim. Is there a legal question about that?
You know, there isn't any prohibition, but I don't see any advantage of
knowing the
residents.
Yeah, neither do I. I see no reason for it, so no.
Okay, and so
certainly the residents been notified.
Yes, I was going to say the residents cannot. I don't see a reason why they shouldn't have their address.
So how to get back in compliance is once again send out a letter, which City Hall is already on top of that, and then we resample. And with the resampling, we can only resample between June the 1st and September the 30th. So this year, June the 1st through September the 30th, we do our 10 samples again, and then we get on a yearly deal instead of once every 3 years.
Any questions for Ms. Amy?
Are the 10 homes that are sampled, are they just picked at random?
We have 10 homes that, actually we have 20, we have 10 backup. But the 10 that we have, they are in the system, TCQ, and it's online, anybody can check it out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any other questions? Thank you, Mr. Amy. I'm going to add to your 7.4 here real quick. You can go ahead and sit down if you like. I'm just thinking I want to touch base with to keep it legal. I have a right to do it in this area. Speaking, it was brought up earlier, of course, during public comments, we can't talk about it. Heavy trash, the city of La Porte, it looks like we've got a very strong chance to make everything work. It's taking a little bit of time for them to get everything processed. It is now illegal for, I believe, the second time. Once legal passes it through, and it's going to move forward to us to go ahead and get the same momentum. So I'm hoping by the next council meeting we'll have it to the council to present to get it set up and get moving forward on the heavy trash. Kind of the water, let's touch base. We had talked about this here, I believe, at the last council meeting that we had on the 7th. It was turning your toilet slightly brown to a brown color. There's nothing you can do about that. There's nothing that we can do with the water. We purchased the water. It's something in the water base. It, my understanding, it's fine. The water will not hurt you in any way. It just, it's doing that to your pretty wide bowls. It's not a brand thing, but I just want to touch base with you. There's nothing that's harmful in it, but there's no way of really fixing it. Why it came in and when it goes out, I have no idea. But sort of vague there, but my understanding is just it's in the water. I don't really know what is causing it to do that. Last but not least is the breaker. We have a breaker that has a problem. I believe that's at the water tower substation. Which substation?
Plant one.
That has a problem with the breaker that will kick off, and sometimes it manually has to be kicked back in.
Yes, sir.
So it'll surge your water flow. That is something we're looking at. It's not something we're not looking at. However, most likely now, it costs a lot of money to fix. And it's part of the SCADA system, along with the gateway sign that has been a sore subject of mine for about a year now. So it is all encompassed with that. We actually have a challenge going on. I believe the engineer who I'm going to let step in. David, explain how we're having it in writing so I get this correct.
Okay, this is, you know, we built an entire new water plant with the exception of storage tanks and wells here. When we put the new electrical distribution system in controls, it's all brand new. There was a pump that had an issue. The pump stressed the circuit breaker, and the pump has been repaired, replaced, taken care of, but the breaker now doesn't have the strength to hold, and so it is dropping out. The electrical engineer, who is a sub to our project engineer, he contends that breaker failed under warranty and is to be replaced under warranty. The electrical contractor disagrees, and right now the electrical engineer has made his opinion in writing last week, and it's going back to the project engineer to be resolved, and it may end up going to a performance bond issue. It's unfortunate because it's a very large breaker. It's on a bus system, and the entire board has to be disassembled to replace this breaker. And so it's not inexpensive. It's not like, you know, just a couple hundred dollars we can buy a new breaker and plug it in there. So my interest is in getting it resolved quickly, but my interest also is not spending any money that doesn't have to be spent if somebody else is supposed to be responsible for it and hold it to do that. So we're making some progress now that we had expected to be making a long time ago.
Thank you, David. I didn't want to get that. I want to make sure I got that correct. Any questions of council? All right. I'm going to move on to item 8.0 business. 8.1, consideration approval invoices. The council's had time to look at the invoices. I'm going to entertain a motion.
Motion.
Thank you, Mr. Adler. Second. Thank you, Mr. Weir. Any questions? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those against say nay. The ayes have it. Moving on to item 8.2. 8.2 has been moved. If you'll make a note of that, to January 25th, 2016, at our next council meeting. By Alderman Snell, she got requested to move that. Moving down to 8.3, that will be skipped tonight because it's sort of put the cart before the horses, so we're going to be skipping that, 8.3. Moving down to 8.4, I'm going to give a brief detail on this. There was a challenge by a citizen, Mr. Hoskins. Ron Hoskins had made a challenge that there was some possible improper delegation on this information on 2015-187. However, after review of that and speaking with the state and our city attorney, going through the information, they had found out the challenge was incorrect and that we were within our guidelines, so there was nothing there done improper. So it has been done properly, and he has been notified of that, just to make note of that. So it has been within taken care of. Then on to item 8.5. Consideration and possible action to adopt resolution 2016-158, authorizing the execution of rate agreement, renewing and extending an interlocal agreement for TML intergovernmental employee benefits pool for the purpose of providing certain employee benefits. Mr. Stahl.
Good evening. We discussed this during the budget process, and that is that our employees' health death and disability insurance coverage plan year starts in April. And that means that the re-rate occurs in December or January, and that's when the new rates are set. We are very fortunate in the last few years that our rates have stayed the same or had very, very modest increases, and this year is no exception. The re-rate is in your packet. We budget a percentage in the budget for contingency for the increase. This is far below what we had budgeted, and so we are going to be ahead of the game. To give you an example, in our plan, we currently pay $402.26 per month for employee insurance. The new rate is going to $414.34. So it's about a $12.11 increase per month. We budgeted a little more than $500 in there. So, of course, any money that is unexpended will stay in our budget for the next year. The other thing is the dental. We currently are paying $32.26 for employee dental, and it goes to $34.52. Also a modest increase. And the life insurance rate is not changing at all. So all in all, it's very favorable, a very low insurance increase. We were really holding on with the Affordable Care Act. We thought we might see a much larger increase. This does not go into effect until April. So even though we have budgeted $500 a month, and this is beneath that, we still won't even have an impact until we get to April. Because of the Affordable Care Act, it kind of short-circuited a lot of things in that they sent this information out to us in December, and it needed to be back in December to meet the federal requirements. It is what we anticipated, and you'll notice if you look at the last page, it's already been signed on December 22nd when we did not have, actually even if we had the council meeting, we didn't have it in the right time cycle to have signed off. So we are really ratifying this rate now and officially accepting it. The paperwork has been sent in so as not to disrupt our coverage. And so that's just a full disclosure to you. We will be signing it again this time under the resolution. The mayor will sign it and send it in, and we'll give you it all square. It's at this point really just a housekeeping issue. There was nothing to negotiate in terms of rate. That was already been accepted.
No vote need to be taken.
Yes, we do need
to need a vote.
We need a motion to vote.
And then before we discuss it, we'll ask for a motion on 2016-158.
Make a motion to adopt resolution 2016-158.
Thank you, Alderman Wheeler. We have a second.
Okay.
Thank you, Alderman Snell. What that means then now, is there any questions from council on it? None being, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those against say nay. The ayes have it. Resolution is passed. Moving on to item 8.6, consideration action to adopt resolution number 2016-159. Authorizing the execution of an interlocal agreement with San Jacinto College District for the purpose of providing certain police services. Mayor Moses. There was two things that I wanted to try to get done before the end of the year, though. I was able to get one, which was the LDC, the park issue that we talked about. The other one was the San Jac College. I've been talking to the chancellor there for some time now. We've been working trying to work an agreement out between Shore Acres Police Department or the City of Shore Acres and San Jac College. The idea was to provide police security type services. Being that Shore Acres is right here, although San Jac sits in Pasadena, who's going to be the first responder? Just like in the report, the same way, Shore Acres is going to be first to the scene. Well, with that being said, the chancellor thought it was a very good idea that we could work something out. So we sat and we went back and forth over this for some time. There's been a lot of work put into this, and now we have an agreement after both legal sides have gone through it, looked at it, and I'm presenting it to the council tonight. What this agreement has, and I spoke with the chief in depth with this, and David and I have spoke and want to make sure it would not tax our police department in any way. We do not feel in any way that it would. And what it does, it brings to the table a change of
$36,798.70 to our pocketbook a year. What this does, provides police service basically for us to do roundabouts. Simply in police terms, it's real simple. We'll make drive-throughs. There may be possibility times when we'll get out. If there's any issues there, we will contact the other agencies, of course. However, we will be the first initiating department. What this does, it puts money back in our pocket for something that we're already out here doing. We drive up and down 146 quite a bit, driving to the Maritime School in the middle of the night, making a drive through, making sure things look secure. I believe there's a couple times, you know, when possibly we may get out and walk around. I know that the chief of police for that department and our chief have met, I believe it was today, chief, have met, and they're on the same lines of what needs to be done. So I believe that it's a good fit for us, and it's opening the door to a relationship there that is very important. And, you know, I'm looking for the council to look at this real strongly. So with that being said, before I can ask any questions, I'm going to have to ask for a motion. So with that being said, I'm entertaining a motion from the council on this idea.
That's a move.
And a motion. We have a second.
Second.
Thank you, Alderman Snell. With that being said, do we have any questions for the council? And the chief is here to answer any questions. If you have a question for him, so.
Chief, everybody, I mean, you're on board. You don't feel like this is going to tax your department, your officers. You also feel like this is, let me go ahead and put you on the spot, why don't I? You feel like this is a good symbiotic relationship that we can actually get going with them?
I do. If you look at the contract, it's fairly written, and it's not requiring us to do much at all, to be honest with you.
Not much more than what you're already doing.
We drive around anyway, and it just gives us another 300 feet to drive.
Okay. Thank you, Chief.
You're welcome.
Any other questions for council?
So it needs to be renewed in October again?
That's correct.
Okay.
All right. We have a motion and have a second. All those in favor for resolution 2016-159?
Aye.
Aye.
All those against? The ayes have it. Thank you, Council. Thank you, Chief. Moving on to item 8.7. Presentation by our city engineer, Jerry Gaynor. Mr. Gaynor is over here regarding sanitary sewer line failure on West Country Club Drive. Discussion of the cause of the failure, emergency action taken to prevent the disruption of service, result of television inspection of the failure of the line where the failure occurred, extent damage and at-risk pipe, emergency action taken to make a point of repair to restore the failed pipe at the point of collapse. Cost of the emergency work to date, current state of repair, additional work that will be required to rehabilitate and restore the pipeline, methods of rehabilitation, engineer's recommendation, estimated cost of the filling pipeline, and estimated time required to complete the pipeline restoration of the project, to put everything back together. So, Mr. Gaynor, if you please explain to us our bad news and tell us how we can fix it.
Okay. Basically, the cause of the problem is 53-year-old concrete sewer line. Concrete's not used for sewers anymore. It's attacked by hydrogen sulfide gas that turns the sewage produces hydrogen sulfide, and that in turn turns into sulfuric acid, which eats the concrete. So after 53 years, the top of the pipe has been eaten out over that long period of time, and where we had the cave in right on West Country Club, there was about literally 14 feet of line that just caved in, so there was a sinkhole there. Looking at the video that was taken, there's other sections where the top of the line is gone. Probably another 20 feet of line is it's missing, hasn't caved in yet, but it's gone. I mean, this concrete pipe was standard C76, ASTM C76 concrete pipe, so it had a wire mesh reinforcing in it, and you can see the videos where the wire is exposed and or where the wire used to be. I mean, it's just deteriorated. So we looked at the different options, and I passed out basically this is a little PowerPoint presentation. There's no need to go through every slide. I mean, the short of it is There's a method called slip lining, which isn't appropriate here because you'd be slip lining this 42-inch line and it would go down to like a 16-inch line. And so you would lose like 42% of the area of the pipe. So that's not an option. This is a main line we're not sure that it has any service connections coming in on it, but it might have one or two. But it being the main line, you can't lose 42% of the capacity of the line. So that leaves you primarily either pipe bursting the line, which is pulling a new line through and it breaks the existing line out and squeezes it into the soil around. And pipe bursting offers the benefit you can actually upsize the line up two sizes bigger. And then there's CIPP, which is cured in place pipe. And there, a sock, if you will, is pulled through the line. It's impregnated with a polyester, and it's cured in place using either steam or hot water. That sock gets expanded, and then it's blown up inside of the line, and it's cured. The CIPP and the pipe burst, basically the results are the same. I mean, you get basically a new line. The CIPP, you're digging twice, basically one on each end, so you have fewer digging. You have the entry and the exit, plus any point repairs. We would have to do some point repairs where the top of the line is missing physically because we cannot do the CIPP through that. You could pipe burst that, but pipe bursting, you would have a minimum of six digs where you would be digging a pit in and out and then multiple places along the way. The CIPP option is about $51,000 cheaper, and since the two are essentially giving you a new line, we would recommend the CIPP option. We have quote, this is HGAC by contract. This is through PM Construction, or IPR is the name that they're doing their business under. But they quote this to HGAC so that cities, you can take advantage of this and not have to go through and go through the arduous bidding process and the 3 weeks of advertising and all of that. Their quote for pipe bursting this line would be $305,140, and their price for the CIPP would be $254,040. I'd recommend that you add at least 10% to that as a contingency as far as putting your budget together. The existing, you've been bypass pumping now for 4 weeks or a lot longer than that.
About 6 weeks.
6 weeks. And so the total cost of that is running upwards of?
We're about $4,200 a month for equipment rental. And then we have overtime to come out and take care of that on the weekends.
You have the existing point repair, which was around 20, I think.
$20,000
for that. And so in the point repair, the excavation, the contractor came out, which happens to be the same contractor. They dug down to the line, and they were going to connect it. Well, there really was nothing to connect it to. I mean, the existing concrete was so worn, and I mean, it was just crumbling. And so we set a 14-foot piece of plastic, 22-inch, 24-inch line in where the line would be. With the idea of going back through there, opening up the hole, could still have a sinkhole on each end, but that was the only thing it could do done. So
we have other expenses that occurred. We did a survey of property lines adjacent to the project, so the contractor would know what the limits of work area would be. And we also had the cleaning of the line. It was about 30 to 50% full of sand and dirt from the failures, and so to clean that line took more than a week, and then we televised the line so that we would be able to do the assessment and provide that to the city engineer. That work was also about $22,000 for the cleaning vacuum truck costs and about $2,200 for the televised line. One of the things that we're talking about here in these numbers is, you recall, and unfortunately I'm having computer issues here, so I can't throw the picture up that I had last time. The line that failed is just about midway between North Country Club and Forest on West Country Club. It's about 400 and some feet between the two manholes there. But we televised the entire line from Shore Acres Boulevard to the north end of the city, which is just north of where the water tower is at. There's no reason to believe when it's all C-76 that this is the only bad section, and we wanted to know what the full picture was. So the numbers that you are hearing tonight would be to go from Shore Acres Boulevard all the way to where it makes a 90-degree turn and goes towards Lift Station 1 under the water tower. It's just a matter of time until we have one of those other failures there in that line. So this is not just fixing the sinkhole and the one failure we had, but this is repairing a line that will let us have a long service life on the rest of that. In the 1990s, we slip-lined a portion, if not all, of our main that runs down Shore Acres Boulevard under the median. We're trying to find those records and verify how much of that has been slip-lined. But this is the main trunk line. This one that we're talking about tonight picks up everything in the city except for Windley and Bioforest. Everything else goes through that line. So it's important. I'll wait till we get to the next item on the agenda, because there's something else to be said there.
Before I move to 8.8, any questions? Because we're going to have questions on 8.8. Any questions on 8.7? Ms. Johnson.
Do you have any good news at all? Anything?
Well, I did stop at the food mart, and I agreed that I will pay for this line if I hit
the lottery mark. Okay. we got a deal on that.
So considering what we've already spent and the proposed cost of this, we're looking at about $300,000.
Yeah, we're looking at about
$350,000.
When we get to the next item, I'll tell you how we address that, other than buying a Powerball ticket.
Don't go anywhere if you just don't mind saying it, because I'm sure we'll have questions on the next one. So
okay.
I'm going to move to item 8.8, discussion, consideration, and action in regard to West Country Club Drive sanitary sewer line. David, take it.
Yeah, this is what you know eventually is going to happen when you have a 50-year-old sewer system. We do make point repairs and we do replace lines periodically. Bigger and the deeper the line, the bigger the cost and the headache. And frankly, this isn't the line that scares me the most, but this line has come up. I will be tonight. I just got the same numbers that you got, and I think he's got copies there if you want to see the specific numbers. But now that I have numbers, my intention is to visit with the Water Development Board. They do low interest loans. And to see how we might structure this, and instead of paying all cash up front, do a low interest loan that will allow us to keep some money in the bank while we move on with this project. But the work has got to be done. So the questions for council are, and I wish they were rhetorical questions, but they're not, because I do have to have your direction on this, is that our options here are to use one of these methods to make the repair, and just go from manhole to manhole to 400 and something feet to fix the section that collapsed and wait for something else to happen, or to do the full run north-south, which goes from Shore Acres Boulevard to under the water tower. And that's a council decision, and it's all money, and it's all dollars per foot. But my advice and comment to you is it's pay now or pay later, and as long as you mobilize a contractor and you have them in the field and they're doing the work, never going to be cheaper to do that line than it is today, and we know it's failing.
there's 20-some feet that's not in that section from manhole to manhole where there is no concrete or steel in the top at all. The only thing that's saving us on that is it's under new pavement, and so it's a little harder for inflow to get to it. But it's the proverbial, you know, finger in the dam. Once water trickles in there from anywhere, then it goes downhill in a big hurry, and we'll have a collapse, and it'll be under a road, and it'll be a bigger problem than this one's been. The other thing that council needs to decide is what method we're going to use. And I think here we're helped by the recommended method is the one that has the least disruption, does the least damage to our brand new streets, and happens to be $50,000 cheaper. It's a pretty nice thing to have all of those line up as being the recommendation, so that makes that kind of easy. Once you make those decisions tonight, and this is just a, you don't have to vote on it, or you can vote on it, but I need a consensus of direction, so I put together a package and bring it back here in 2 weeks that we can pull the trigger. And another really good piece of the news that he had here is that the contractor that did our point repair went through the process with HGAC and did a, it's a time and material, it's a unit pricing bid process that he did with HGAC, which was a competitive bid. And this contractor and other contractors all put up their price for how much per foot, per yard, per material, and they won that. And we can use that without us going through the costly and time-delaying bid process, because clearly this is going to be more than $50,000, which is the bid limit. That satisfies the need. We've already run that through the city attorney, and he agrees that we're good to go, that we can bite that off and go. So I will need to bring back to you a plan on how we pay for it. If there's an opportunity for us to stretch that out over a period of time, and it will require a budget amendment, which will have to be drafted and brought back to council in 2 weeks, and also the contract. We can't contract with somebody until we've appropriated the funds. You have to have the money before you can sign a contract. So all those things will come back in 2 weeks. Kind of laid it out on what we need from you tonight, and then we can go out and do the work.
So my understanding, we've got some shore acres down to the bend there by the water tower, but we've already cambered it all, and you said about 43 feet, but you've got additional footage that's already got the top moving because the acid's eating the cement away.
About 20
feet extra there.
Yeah, up there it's missing.
So, yeah, we're... That's the way it's looking. I mean, I'm just throwing my opinion out there. The whole thing is going to have to be replaced. I would like to see, instead of us, if it's possible, and I know that's going to be a lot of things to get together. Of course, the way we talked about doing it in a cheaper way is a better way. I agree with that. I think if there's a way to get every detail we could get at a special meeting before then, possibly even to try to cut some of this cost down on our usage, what we're spending out there. I don't know if you can get everything done by then, but... looks like it's going to have to be council. Start down here with Mike.
You know, we discussed this before we adjourned for the holidays. We knew this was coming, and the most logical approach to this is use the recommended CIPP or whatever you called it approach to the repair and go ahead and bite the bullet, fix the entire 400 feet, because the age is the same all the way down there.
But 1,600 feet is what...
Whatever the distance is from Shore Acres Boulevard to the water tower, that pipe is all the same age. We're all going to... I mean, you know, you replace a section at a time. Now you've got the emergency failure issues and digging and all that, so... You know, it only makes sense to, once you get started with this, to do it all, do it right the first time, bite the bullet. Yes, it's going to be expensive, and we'll have to figure out a way to pay for it, but you're jeopardizing more by trying to delay and piecemeal it than what you have more gain by going ahead and replacing it all at the same time.
Thank you, Mike.
I agree with Alderman Wheeler. I'm curious about the water board's interest rate, what that would be for a loan. So
It just depends on what they have available. They do those in packages, and sometimes it's zero, and sometimes it's 1%.
Oh, okay.
It's reasonable. Very favorable.
Okay. I wouldn't mind going that route if that's available. Yeah. But we'll see what the interest ends up being.
All right. Alderman Snell.
I agree with my colleagues that we're already going to have the equipment, so there's so much overhead with just even beginning to fix even a portion of it. However, that being said, I really don't think that this city is in a place financially to be able to take $350,000 out and do it. I think unless we can get a low interest rate through the water board, because, guys, I mean, you know, we could, the minute we were to do that, then there would be another emergency, and then we're just screwed. So I'm all for definitely looking to see what the water board has to say, and then go ahead and plan on doing the whole shooting match. But if we cannot get one of those low interest rates, we're just going to have to go manhole to manhole. I mean, I think it would be financially irresponsible for us to take that money out of our savings at this point.
I totally agree with council so far.
Okay.
This would be like my house. If I had a problem with a sewer line, I'd come and say, fix it. I don't want to deal with this every 6 months. And I'm spending more money after more money, but I'd have to finance it. So I'd like to know how the proper finance is going to be.
So instead of taking a vote, David, I think we're all on consensus. Basically, we'll find out what the loan, the interest is, then come back to the council with that. If we need to have a special meeting, let me know, and I'll get over to the council. We'll make it happen.
I mean, if we need to have a special meeting before 2 weeks, well, just so we can get this going.
That's what I'm saying. To get the information. I'm sorry.
I don't know if we can ask a question about this at this point.
No, sir.
Okay.
But if we go with that route, I think that'd be the best way to go. Do we have an idea if we were to address the loan issue and things like that? Do you think we could get a, but you're dealing with them before, is there a favorable answer pretty quick, or does it take some time to get this done? I mean, do they delay? Is there a lot paperwork involved?
They tend to have them set up in packages, and so if there is a package ready to go,
right,
it moves quickly. And that isn't necessarily the only alternative we have. I mean, I will be looking to see what's available from grants. There may be some grant
rules,
and also look at other options. And I'll come back with a full range of things as to of what's available, as much as what we have available.
And you may want to look at a bond election, because your aging system really needs a lot of work. I mean, this is just like the tip of the iceberg. And with the amount of stuff that you have, I mean, what's in the ground is 50 years old, and you could be, you use bond money to do things that are going to be long-term investments, and you need something that's going to last, another 100 years. So I think even if you take out a loan and you were to move forward with some sort of, with a bond election, you could roll that loan into that bond, and then you could have long-term financing to do a lot of repair.
You know, I mentioned this isn't the line that scares me, so let me tell you what line scares me. We have, and I believe it's a 24-inch gravity line that goes from this north manhole by the water tower we were talking about, and it goes west almost 3,000 feet, I believe, under Highway 146, all the way over to just short, about 120 feet short of the railroad tracks, to where we have a manhole, and then it turns with a brand new line that goes to our lift station. When we rebuilt lift station 1, which is the one far over by the railroad tracks, I got a grant to build that. It's almost $3 million lift station. And I had attempted to get the CDBG, the GLO, to approve. At the time it was Texas, it was the rural ORCA, it was ORCA and TDRA. TDRA to approve us building that new lift station over here near the water tower. Because that line is also 50 years old, and you can just imagine what the cost is going to be to go under 146 with all the new construction. If we have been able to build And it may actually be the cheapest way to do it if that line ever fails, is to build a lift station on this side of the highway and then use the old line as a casing for a force main and put a smaller force main in there. Because from that lift station, we go all the way out to past Bay Area Boulevard to get that to Gulf Coast for treatment. That line's scary. It's scary deep. It's big. And everything goes through that line. There's no other way to get there.
Some of your options run out, too, like cured in place, CIPP is not an option, and possibly even pipe bursting isn't an option if it caves in under the highway. Yeah, TxDOT's not going to let you dig it up.
Please don't start me on them. All right. Well, David, I think you got what we want, what the council's expecting. Now, if we get any information from council sooner, we'll call for a special meeting. All right. Mr. Gaynor, thank you very much. We greatly appreciate you giving us the information, even though it wasn't what we want here, but thank you very much.
Go buy more tickets.
Okay. Moving on to item 9.0, adjournment. We're going to adjourn at 8:24. Thank you.